Soul Speak Living in Color, where we talk about inspirations, following your dreams, and what lights your fire. I'm your host, Sam Filia, Rainbow and Thunder voiceover. You can find me at samfiliavo.com. Hello, and welcome back to Soul Speak Living in Color. Today's guest is Christian Eros.
Hello. Eros.
Guys, his name is a little odd, so forgive me if I mispronounce one or two times. So Christian is a relatively new voice actor. He's got an impressive resume, though, so go check out his website, christianeros.com. It's got a whole bunch of stuff like audiobooks, ADR. He does character. He does like improv, stage acting. So this dude is like all over the place. And he's really great at what he does. If you listen to his demos, he's got the skill. So he's going to talk to us about his experience, where he's going with voice acting or with acting in general. We're going to talk a little bit about some nerdy things that he likes to do, because don't we all love to do some games every now and then, right? So you can check out his work, his demos on the website. Again, that's christianeros.com, and I'll be posting that in the blog post so you can just directly click on it for utmost convenience. You can follow his socials, show some love, because we all need a little support here. So his Instagram and his Twitter is at thechristianeros, and then his LinkedIn is just Christian Eros. Just go type that into the search bar, and then you can go click on his name, follow it, do cool stuff. Might even send some memes to him. You might become friends. Come on now. I think he'd be open for that, right?
No. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us, Christian. It's so nice to have you here. I've been following you for a couple of years now, and it's really awesome to see you grow into the awesome actor that you are today.
Thank you so much. Yeah. You know, it was actually really cool because we live in two different places, internet. But then we met at the One Voice conference, and it was funny because like, I didn't know you were going. And then I saw you like, it's going to sound really creepy, but I saw you in the, like across the hall.
And I was like, oh,
familiar. Yeah. I was like, she looks really familiar. I would recognize that colored hair anywhere, but where? And I was like, oh, we follow each other on Instagram. And that happened quite a few times at that conference. There's even a guy who was like, oh, hey, I recognize you. And I was like, I have no idea who you are. Because in all of his social media, he has like, so what's one of the hand-drawn?
Oh, the caricatures?
Yeah, I'm sure he had it like commissioned, but it was like, I don't know who you are. I've never, super, super nice guy. Now I follow him in like all kinds of different places now that I know who he is. But yeah, no, it was a really cool experience. We took Katie Lee's class together.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, super fun time.
That was awesome. Isn't it amazing all the people that you can meet and the people that you didn't know that you follow on Instagram the conference? Like, there was a couple of people that I had the same situation with. I was like, I know you. I follow you.
I'm following you. Yeah, it was super cool. And they had so many people coming from like states that aren't, because I'm in Dallas, Texas. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there was so many people like, oh, I'm coming, like we should totally hang out. And it was super nice.
That's awesome.
You all had to go and, you know, get plane tickets and hotels. I just had to drive in. So, and I live like pretty close to the airport.
Shit, I drove in. It was about a 12-hour drive, but
yowzers.
Whatever.
Yeah, I live close enough to the airport where I could get there in like 20-ish minutes, depending on traffic.
I hate that it was at the airport, though. It's so crowded, so it much is. Traffic.
And I had to pay the toll.
The toll, right, yeah.
Oh, but whatever, toll tags or something.
So tell us about your journey. Let's start with when you started and why you got into it.
Well, it all started when I was a wee lad. You know, like as far as voice acting goes, when I learned that Luke Skywalker was the Joker is when I really discovered, I was like, oh, voice acting is a thing. Like, these are actual people. Because, like, you know, when I was a kid, I just believed it. Like, oh, they're characters. Like, they are real people, sort of. Even though I knew they were cartoons. The child's mind is a wondrous thing. And I started to really get interested in actors, in voice acting, in all that kind of stuff. And, like, who was voicing what? I learned that the, not the original Black Ranger from Power Rangers, but the second one, Johnny Yong Bosch, like, he was in all the anime I watched as a, like, a young teenager, preteen kind of, and he still does.
Yeah.
And that blew my mind, you know? And then my freshman year in high school, we had theater, and I said, oh, I'm going to audition for a play, and I didn't get it. And I was like, meh, I failed. I'm never going to act again. And so I didn't until my senior year, and I had no classes left to take, really. And so I was like, you know what? I'll just take theater 101 or whatever it's called in high school, like whatever, intro to theater. And I got in, and after 2 weeks, I feel like this is going to be bragging, but the teacher said, hey, yeah, you're too advanced for this class. And so she had me enroll in the, like, advanced course for theater in high school. And then she cast me. I don't even remember if I auditioned. My memory is also really bad. Mm-hmm. But then I was cast as the lead in my senior year play. Yeah. And then she also had me join in. They had, like, an improv troupe, and we went and we did, like short plays and stuff like that in downtown Indianapolis, which is Indiana, is where I'm from. And yeah, that was kind of like my introduction into acting in general. Like, I really loved it. And then in college, you know, I took acting classes and stuff. But Indiana in 2007, 2008 is not. It's not like it's become an acting hub. It's not a place where you act, you know? So I was like, oh, okay, I'll grow up. I'll forget about acting. It was fun, kind of like music. I played the guitar, and I was like, I'm going to be a rock star. And it's like, you're not going to be a rock star, dude. You know,
dreams squashed before they have a chance to flourish.
Yeah. Well, that's what this podcast is about, right? It's about saying, hey, you have a dream. Forget it. It's never going to happen. Squash all of it. Get a day job. Yeah. I feel like that's the message, and I think it's good. You know, be realistic. But yeah, you know, like, I know my limitations. And one of them is, I have an anxiety disorder, full disclosure. I don't have that, like, drive or fearlessness to be like, I'm moving to Hollywood and I'm going to be a star. Because I was like, if I get on an airplane to Hollywood, I would be like, oh, cool. I'm going to have a panic attack and, like, like, TSA is going to have to escort me somewhere, probably in handcuffs. Like, I just knew that I couldn't do it. So flash forward 10 years. I think I was 26 or 27. And my anxiety disorder didn't really go anywhere. In fact, in some ways, it got kind of worse. I now live in Dallas, and I had been here for years. I had zero friends, like none. And I discovered D&D. For those of you who don't know what D&D is, it's Dungeons and Dragons. It is basically a board game for super nerds. And I was listening to a podcast, not Critical Role. I was listening to D&D is for Nerds by a group. Podcasting group called Sans Pants. They're Australian and I love them. And I listened to them for like a year, and I was like, I need to play this game. I need to play it. And I discovered that you can just go to comic book shops and play. And after like maybe a year, maybe not even a year, someone told me, he's like, oh man, like, you should. Because there's a lot of, like,
there's a lot of storytelling.
there's a lot of storytelling. There's a lot of box text. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, you and your intrepid adventurers journey forth into the cave. And so there's a lot of narration to do there as well. And someone told me, like, you should do audiobooks. Like, you do a really good job at this. I was like, oh, thank you. That's never going to happen. He's like, no, like ACX, like Audible. It's just, you just jump online. It's easy. And I was like, huh. And that was me, like, my introduction into, oh, yeah, it's the future. It's the 21st century. Yeah, you can just have a booth at home and start off that way. So on a real long answer, high school, I started acting, and D&D got me back into it after about a decade of doing not acting.
And now is a really great time for all of us who are getting into it, because we can have the home studios, as you said. Like, if 10 years ago, that wouldn't have been a thing. It wasn't as common. But since the pandemic, since the pandemic started, like, it's a necessity, really.
Like, oh, definitely.
You won't, especially if you're starting out, you won't get paid for going to a studio. A lot of time they don't want to pay studio fees because everybody has a home studio.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. And it's kind of funny, you know, like, there are some teachers, voice acting teachers that I've learned from that are like, yeah, no, totally. Like, the way that voice acting is done now, like, he's like, I will teach you acting. I will teach you about the industry. But as far as like auditioning and the day-to-day, like what you need to do in your home studio, I don't know. That's not how I got into it. You know, things are so different now. They, you know, get auditions from agents or from the studios themselves, or, and they go in to record. Like, I had an acting class where it was a very prominent voice actor, been in it for decades. Oh, this feels like I'm bragging again. Ugh.
But brag away, no. Brag away. We want people to know what you're about.
So, like, one of the students asked, hey, teacher, how do I get auditions? And he straight up says, like, I don't know. You know, ask Christian. Like, he's the one who's doing this every day. And, like, at some point, they'll just start handing you auditions. But, you know, how to get to that point, it's so different now.
It really is. Especially with Fiverr, that freaking tidal wave of that type of platform, it has changed the game completely.
Yeah. Not to out you, have you ever tried Fiverr?
I've been on it. I've looked at the platform. I've never worked on Fiverr.
Sure.
I don't really plan to work on Fiverr, but I know that in the future, a lot of the platforms are going to look like that.
Yeah.
So it's coming whether you want it to or not. And it's good to be at least familiar with it. You know?
Yeah. You know, like when I was first starting out in voice acting, I did a lot of research before taking classes because of my anxiety disorder. I don't want to go into a class where, this is so funny. Like, you go into a class to learn things, right? Like, oh, hey, I'm here to learn what's acting. But I'm like, no. I need to know everything before I go into the class so I don't feel stupid.
Why you call me out like that?
Yeah. That's my jam. So it's like, I watch 1,000 hours of YouTube channel videos about acting and voice acting and voiceover and audio editing and equipment and everything. And there are a lot of YouTube voice actors who love Fiverr. You know, there are some who make like 90% of their money from Fiverr. And so this is also before I learned about like the reputation of like just the way that you can be looked at as a professional voiceover on Fiverr. It's just some people are okay with it, but there's a lot of people who will drag you down because of it. That said, I made a Fiverr and I was like, oh, I'll try it out. You know, I put my little shingle out and then people come to me. And I got a few offers for jobs. Only one of them was actually for voice acting. It was for an audiobook. criminally underpaying, of course, but also I was already doing an audiobook at the time. And I was like, hey, like, I'm doing one right now. Like, give me a couple of weeks, I'll get to yours. He's like, nope, can't do it. I was like, okay. Other than that, it's been really shady stuff. Like, hey, can you make an account on this website? Because I got locked out, totally not my fault. So if you can just make an account under your name and give me the information, I'll pay you $100 a month. It's like, I
don't know about that.
No, thank you. Thank you, but no thank you. I had one individual who wanted me to, he's like, oh yeah, it's voice stuff. Basically, he wanted me to be an intermediary for a Chinese company to talk to clients, to tell them about the company. And I was like, I don't understand. Like, you want to hire some random dude off Fiverr to be your, like, emissary for American companies? Yeah. And he was really, really polite at first, but then he just completely went off the rails and started calling me names and stuff. And I was like, okay. Because I was asking questions. And he's like, nah. Like, okay. But he made like three other accounts and kept pitching it to me. Whatever. Fiverr is, it works for some people, I guess.
Works for some, not for everyone. And, yeah, you know, it's your choice whether you want to use it or not, I think. Yes. Yeah. Like I said, I've never worked on Fiverr. I have had a profile, not under my name, just to check it out and see what the hype is. Because I have a lot of people that I follow that do most of their work on Fiverr. You know, they make a lot of their money on it. But I'm more of I like Voice123 and occasionally like Voices and VO Planet and stuff like that. They're a lot more simple to use and they don't undercut you as much as it does, as the Fiverr platform does.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm not going to hate on anybody who does. It's your business. That is exactly what I need everybody to understand, is that you run your business the way that you want to run it. You can get others' opinions. You can get feedback. You can ask other people what they think about it, what their experience is with it, but come to your own conclusions.
Oh, 100%. 100%. You know, it's a bit tricky, I think, seeking out advice. Like my brother-in-law has a degree in business. And so when it comes to like business stuff, I go to him. But even then, not everything that he knows will apply to me because I'm a freelance voiceover artist or voice actor or whatever.
Right.
And so he's more like corporate America. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm, you know, I'm a gun for hire or whatever. And then, you know, you go to on like Facebook groups or whatever forums you want to go to, and advice runs the gamut, you know, everybody's opinion's different. And so you kind of have to do a bunch of legwork and then go out there and make mistakes, which sucks. It sucks. But you stick to it and you eventually will stumble into what works for you. You know, like we were talking right before we started recording about, I couldn't afford a demo at first. I wanted to start off with a character demo, and because that's what I want to get into. Like, that's what I want to do full time. I want to be like animation, games, anime, like whatever, character stuff, because I'm unique. And so I was like, all right, cool. I was at a voice acting, I was in a class, and day one, they're like, yeah, so we do demos. They're $1,875. And I was like, dang, Gina, that's really expensive. And so I started to work on my own. I, you know, watched YouTube, they have demos all over the place and I listened to demos. I was trying really hard to listen for patterns and stuff like that. And there are lots of YouTube videos that talk about demo production. And so I made my own. And while it's not the best thing ever, I'm still pretty freaking proud of it. And I went on, I asked, you know, like my family and friends to listen to it. But, you know, they're all like, oh, it's really good. You're so special. Oh, my goodness. And while it's lovely and supportive, I knew I needed more like specialized feedback. So I went on to Facebook. There's a lot of VO groups on there. And I got two reactions. I either got like, yo, this is pretty good, or hey, this is trash. And if you, which that doesn't bother me. What actually hurt my feelings was a guy questioned my dedication. You know, he's like, if you're not dedicated enough to spend $2,000 on a demo, like you should just quit. And I was like, that hurts. Like, I'm super dedicated. I just don't have money. Because then the guy went into a huge explanation of how he has his demos made. And he spends about $6,000 per demo.
Jesus.
Because he goes through like a bunch of different writers and all he has a string of people he has it go through. And I'm like, congrats. Like, that's awesome that you have the money for that. I super don't. You know, and I quickly hit this spot where I'd done all the research that I can on my own. And I was taking classes that were very much for beginners, which, not knocking them, but I very much reached a point where I wasn't a beginner. I definitely wasn't a pro. I was at the beginning stages of intermediate, yeah. I think. And for me, I don't know about how, like for you, but I think this is harder than starting. It's like I've hit this point where I don't know what I don't know. I don't even know what questions to ask because I don't realize I'm missing things. I know I'm missing something, but I'm not sure what that is. And now I just have to be a sponge, go to every class that I can. And no matter how basic the information is, I need to just absorb everything. And yeah,
I think that's the correct way to go about it, is like you really do have to be a sponge, because like you said, you don't know what you don't know. I was the same way. I mean, I did the same thing before I started. I spent a good 3 years on YouTube researching the hell out of it. So by the time that I started, I wasn't really a beginner, honestly, because I had been practicing on my own. I was doing breathing techniques because I was also a singer for most of my life. And that's what helped me learn how to act, is knowing how to sing.
Sure.
And when I first started getting into the Facebook groups for voice acting, there was all of these people asking all of these, you know, beginner questions or intermediate questions. And that's how I learned. I was a sponge. I was just soaking up all the information without having to ask the questions that I didn't know how to ask. And then taking all of my classes, like I took as many classes as I possibly could with the money that I had, spent thousands of dollars on all of this stuff just to begin to work. And making your own demo, as I was saying before we started recording, like if you have the skills to, or the not, or the ability to learn how to at least decently make your demo, then, you know, if you don't have the money, you don't have the money. You got to start somewhere. And eventually, once you make the money, then you get a professionally produced demo. If you don't know how to produce a demo and you're not very good with technology and audio mixing like yours truly, don't do it. You save the money.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think there's a time and place, you know, like I talked about before. For me, it makes a lot of sense to have a homemade demo, provided, you know, you have some know-how. Because when I was first starting, my very first mic was an Audio-Technica AT2035. While it's a decent mic, it's not a Neumann 103. And I know that the different studios I had gone to for classes, they all used at least a 103. you know, I'd seen a Sennheiser 416. I'd even seen a U87, which I got into a booth just for a class and I saw it was a U87. Like, I don't know. For whatever reason, it made it feel like really real. It's like, oh, this is a $3,500 microphone. And I was in a whisper booth, which is like 10 grand. You know, it was just like, they do real recordings here. So yeah, if I'd gone, and eventually the place with the U87, my demo was recorded on a 103, but when I went to that studio, it was on a 103 in a professionally sound treated and soundproof booth. And I knew that before then, because now I have the 103, I've got the good sound treatment. I have the exact same interface, the Apollo Universal Audio. Like I went to that studio and I started to save all my pennies and got what they got so that when I had my demo done by them, it would be representative to what I can do.
Right.
But before then I couldn't, you know, I had the Scarlett Solo, I had the 2035 and my sound treatment wasn't great. It was after I made that demo is when I got my sound treatment to a good spot. But I wanted to be honest. And that's something I always strive for is honesty and genuineness. I really don't like being fake. Like, I know that there's like, okay, cool. You have to have like a forward facing persona or, you know, reputation is everything. And you can't go around just being a bad person, which great. Awesome. Like, yeah, don't be a douchebag, but I don't like being fake or dishonest or yeah. And I do think that sometimes people I've gotten some feedback. They're like, oh dude, you're being like, way to this or that. You need to just like act like you own the room. And it's like, I super don't. And if someone's turned off by the fact that I say that I'm sorry, which it's like a reflex. I did it last night in a session with Funimation and they say like, never say sorry. I say it without even thinking about it. It just happens. And if someone doesn't want to work with me because I'm not the most confident person ever, well, then we're just not going to get along. And I'm okay with that. Like, I really want to work with people who I like and can get along with.
I mean, that's the great thing about having your own clients is that you're not going to be everybody's cup of tea and vice versa. So like, you have your own brand, your own personality, your way of acting, your own techniques, your own way of running your business. And that's a part of it is finding the clients that suit you and your business and your type of interaction.
Totally. Totally. You know, and I even find that to be the same with teachers. You know, like I have gone through quite a number of coaches. And the reason I would move on, it wasn't necessarily because they were bad coaches. It was just, I didn't feel like I was clicking with them, like on a personal level. Still learned a lot or whatever, but like because of my anxiety, I need a certain amount of comfort and safety, which I can't get if you make me nervous. Like my very first voice acting teacher, that guy made me so nervous. So nervous. He was nice. He was just, he had a really, really deep voice, very, very powerful instrument, you know, he was just so imposing. And he was an older guy. And I was just like, no, like I get like 2019, I was 30. Is that math? Yes, I'm 32. So in 2019, when I first started taking classes and all that, like, yeah, I'm 30, but you're going to have to talk to me like I'm a child because like you make me nervous, man. Like, I just can't handle like your intensity. I feel like you had an original question and I've greatly just gone off the path.
No, you pretty much answered it. You gave us a good story about, you know, how you started and why you're in it and
yes.
what your journey wow. is and so far.
I talk a lot. This is why I got a microphone, but I can just talk and get paid for it.